Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me for a Friday, January 8th, 2021. This is edition number 60. As we continue through season two of the Morning Devotional, we are coming rapidly to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and I've begun to think through what I might like to do for season three of the Morning Devotional. If you have any suggestions or comments, you can contact me. The information will be available to you at the end of this video. This morning, we're going to consider Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. But let's pray together first, and then we will briefly consider these words from the Savior this morning. Let's pray. Almighty God in heaven, we bless your name this morning. You are the God of all creation, for you have made all of creation. You spoke all of it into existence by the word of your power. Therefore, all of it is yours. You have breathed these words out that we are about to read this morning, given to us that we might have a light to our path, that we might have a sure and sound and solid instruction as to how we are to live as your people. We pray that even this day, as we hear these words, we might heed the warning of the Savior in these verses, that we might drink deeply from the well, which is the Word of God, and that we might then live as faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd help us, that you'd grant us your Spirit, that we might indeed behold wonderful things from your Word. We do pray for your church. We pray for matters that face us in our day and age in which we live. We cry out, even how long, O Lord, will you tarry and wait before your return? We would beg of you, plead even, that you would come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until you do, make us faithful. May we never grow weary in doing good. May we labor while it is still day, for night is coming when no man can work. And so may you help us and may you bless us, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15, reading through verse 20. Let's give attention to God's word this morning. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn brushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Here, Jesus is clearly talking about the question of fruit bearing. And more to the point, he's talking about this issue of false prophets. Now, it's important to realize that oftentimes we may read that word prophet in the Bible and we think of foretelling a man who was given gifts of the Spirit to, as it were, predict, but more to the point, tell of events that would actually occur in the future. And while that is certainly part of being a prophet, more to the point, a prophet in the Old Testament and in the New was one who would foretell, that is to declare, something. Now, a true prophet of God in the Old Testament was one who would speak only the words of God, the words of Jehovah to his people. A false prophet in the Old Testament was one who would go out on his own and speak his own words and perhaps even in the name of Jehovah. And so here Jesus is saying there's going to be people like that in our lives. We're going to sit under men who will say they are speaking the word of God. They are communicating the word of God when in fact they are actually not. And how then might we know who they are? And Jesus, being concerned for the good of his sheep, concerned for his church, gives us a way here, at least in part, of how we might identify a one who is but a wolf or a false prophet, one who does not truly communicate the word of the Lord to the Lord's people. And that's why he begins with a very strong word in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now, these men do not usually show up in the church with signs and lights flashing over their head that the things they're about to say is bad or evil or destructive. But the end of what they do will indeed be that. They come disguised. They come, as Jesus tells us, they come in as wolves in sheep's clothing. And it takes discernment and it takes wisdom and understanding to identify who they are. And Jesus tells us in verse 16 that we will recognize them by their fruits. Now, one of those fruits, one of those evidences that they are indeed destructive to the sheep is in the very core of what they teach. Are they teaching sound doctrine? Are they teaching that faith that was once delivered to the saints? Are they expositing the Word of God and teaching, thus saith the Lord, from the Word of God into the minds and hearts of God's people? But it's not the only matter that stands before God's people as to how one might identify a wolf in sheep's clothing. One commentator points out that there are numerous fruit that can come from one who is a false prophet, one who is seeking to destroy. He's a man who gloms on or is obsessed with controversy. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 3, he touches on this as he gives instruction to a young pastor in the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. They are men who are devoted, verse 4, to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. They're men that are consumed with division in the church. And they seem to relish in those circumstances. Instead of seeking the unity of God's people, they seek to divide. 1 Timothy 6, and verses 3 and 4. We read, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth. And so here there's just two. There's another aspect by which we can identify the bad fruit of such a person. And if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, we again note in verse 18, there again, Paul's still talking to this young pastor in the faith. And he mentions these men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection is already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. In other words, they're teaching false doctrine. They're not teaching things that are in accordance with the scriptures, with the truth. They're teaching heresy. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And so Jesus knew and understood quite plainly that people were going to use his name, they were going to market his name to advance their own kingdom, their own desires, their own agendas, instead of the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as sheep in the church, we must be aware of these people because they come in as those who are dressed up with the right garb. They may have gone to seminary. They may have been vetted by a presbytery. They may be an elder in the church. They may have grown up in a Christian home. I mean, there's any number of things. But at the end of the day, they're destructive to the core, to the sheep. So it's very important, my friends, that as members of the church, as one as those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and want to be discerning in these matters, that we are immersed in the Scriptures and are able to identify these people that come. And they are here in our world today. I could name names of many who are in our world today. There's no point in that. You know who many of them are. Those superstar men who everybody seems to love, but at the end of the day, they're nothing but wolves in sheep's clothing. But they show up in the local church and in an insignificant part of the world, and they come with one agenda, and that is to ultimately bring destruction. St. Clair Ferguson, in his fine devotional that I've used from time to time throughout this season of these devotionals, he mentions a number of things related to the false prophet of God, the false prophet that Jesus is talking about here. He first says that the false prophet is identified by his attitude toward the people of God. He is a ferocious wolf and expresses his true nature by the way he devours the flock. He does not lay down his life for the sheep, as the good shepherd did. Instead, he uses the sheep to serve his own interest. He is not at all like the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, he says, the false prophet is identified by the fruit of his teaching. Good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit. And that's just a fact of nature. I suspect if I were to go out into an apple field and I were to observe all the trees and in harvest, when the apples were at bloom and they were all over the trees, and I were to see the beautiful apples there hanging on the limbs, and to note one tree that the apples looked sick and putrid and looked like there was something wrong, I would have to conclude, of course, that the tree's got a problem. The tree is sick. The tree is diseased. The false prophet is identified by the fruit of his teaching. Faithful men and false men reveal their true identity in two ways, Ferguson says. In their own character, and in the fruit of their teaching in the character of others. In other words, are they Christ-like? And the Apostle Paul was concerned about this, of course, as he wrote his pastoral letters, and as he admonished that young pastor Timothy to keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. He admonished him to be a good example of the good shepherd of the sheep, to watch out and be careful to live a godly life before the people. If you have a man in your midst who may have the title of pastor, he may have the title of elder, but he's not living a godly life, he's not setting before you a godly example, then you need to beware and you need to be discerning of that individual. He speaks well, but he doesn't do what he says. He's much like the Pharisees who said much but didn't do what they said. A true prophet of the Lord is going to emulate the Savior. Third, he goes on to say the false prophet is identified by his priorities. On the last day, these prophets will say to Jesus, "Did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and perform many miracles?" But Jesus will reject their claims to him. We're going to take that section up of Matthew 7 on Monday. But a false prophet is identified by his priorities. Are the priorities of the man the priorities of the Savior, or are they the priorities of the individual? And so in these succinct statements that St. Clair Ferguson offers to us, it gives us plenty to think about as we consider those in our midst who may have the position of pastor or teacher or elder or whatever it may be, that we must be discerning people. But it also gives a warning, I think, to men who have been charged and have a responsibility to shepherd the flock of God. It is vitally important, and especially as I speak to my brothers in the ministry, that we remember that our agenda is really irrelevant. We must have the desires of Christ. We must teach what Christ taught. We must teach the full counsel of God. We must teach what the Bible says, not what we want it to say. We must not advance our own agenda and our own priorities. We must advance the priorities and the agenda of the King of Kings. The people of God will figure you out eventually. They will know over time that you are not for them, that you are, as Jesus describes here, you are a wolf in sheep's clothing. Much better to be said of us that we are men that bear good fruit because we love the sheep and we want to see them grow. We're willing to lay down our life for the sheep. We're willing to sacrifice for the good of the sheep. We're willing to give, to be, spend and be spent for the good of God's people. No one ever said the ministry was easy. And any man who engages in the ministry to do it faithfully will find out rather quickly that it's a life of sacrifice. And so here we have a very, very critical matter. Eternity is at stake. Sheep are at stake. And it's vitally important that we heed the warning of Christ, that we might not be a hireling, but that we might be a faithful shepherd as under shepherds of the good shepherd, faithfully advancing his kingdom, his priorities, and teaching his words into the ears of his people. As for those who sit in the pews week after week, be discerning, be as the Bereans who examine the scriptures to see if what the apostles were saying was faithful to the scriptures. Be wise, look for fruits, and that takes time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But beware, there are many out there competing for your soul. And we know, of course, that the great enemy of our soul is like a ravenous, is like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Oftentimes he sneaks in, covert, undercover, to destroy the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you, that they cause you to think perhaps and dwell on certain matters more so than you have before. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact me. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until Monday, when we consider verses 21 through 23 of Matthew 7, I trust the Lord will bless you and keep you, and he'll find you worshiping him on the Lord's Day, honoring him as you gather with God's people to give him praise and glory and honor, and to hear from him even as his word is proclaimed. God bless.